Denied.
Hey, you guys. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is the Two Dumb Yinzers, and this is the episode of number 544. Ooh. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. I like the Goonies reference right off the rip, man.
You like that?
I like it. Sloth and Chunk, baby.
How you doing, Derpy?
Doing great. Have my coffee ready to go. Ready to run through a wall.
Did you have a nice May 4th?
Yes, I did. Did you? Went and seen Phantom Menace in theaters.
Did you really?
It was an experience. Yes, I did.
So you really do a whole thing for this May 4th. What kind of experience was it? What happened, Derpy?
Well, as you've probably seen Phantom Menace. I don't know if you have or not.
Let's just assume that I haven't.
It's best to assume Ryan has not.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the weakest in the prequels, but it was still enjoyable to watch on the fourth. So.
Did something go down? I mean, was there some kind of?
There was a preview of a new show on Disney Plus at the end of the film.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like there was like a theater shooting or something. Nothing like that, huh?
Nope.
No. All right. Well,
of course,
hey.
We go there, Ryan.
When he said something exciting happened, I don't know. And also yesterday was Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo, Mike. Did you do anything fun for Cinco de Mayo?
I had a surprise birthday party for my buddy's 40th birthday, so went there. That was about it.
Oh, that's probably fun for somebody who's 40, huh?
Yeah, he was actually shocked. He didn't realize it was going to be for him.
He probably didn't realize that somebody was going to throw him a birthday party at 40 years old.
Well, he knew his wife was going to do something because, she's all about that stuff. And, he was a little shocked. So we pulled it off. We everyone kept it under wraps. So, I was proud of the group. We did something. We accomplished something. We kept our mouth shut for a change.
Okay. No. Was it one of them ones where he walked in and everyone jumped up and yelled surprise?
No, he was, it was like big garage. And then you walk out to a patio area. We had people in the garage, people in the patio area. As he was walking up, we were able to hit the door. It came up. Balloons were up there. Like me and one of his buddies from college were right there to meet him. So yeah, he was shocked. Nice. He thought it was like his mother-in-law's birthday party. He didn't realize it was going to be for him.
But you didn't shout surprise? That's the best part of a surprise
party.
Yeah,
we did. We shouted surprise.
All right.
Yeah. So it was good. And I got to see a couple people I haven't seen in a while. So, it was good.
All right. So everybody had a good weekend. Derpy had an eventful night going to see the Phantom Menace for May 4th. Mike had a surprise birthday party for his 40-year-old best friend on Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. Plenty of things that went on this weekend, guys. We do got some sports to talk about. We got to catch up a little bit from Friday. Friday we were not on, so there are things that we didn't get to brush on in the end of the week. So we're going to dive into a little bit of that today.
Yep.
We got heavy Steelers, Mike. We got a little NFL, then we got the Pirates and a few other things. So buckle in because here we go, guys. Chase Claypool watch. Chase Claypool, yes, he's playing for his fourth team in 5 years. He is signed with the Buffalo Bills, guys. Chase Claypool to the Buffalo Bills. Now, this team here was the team that beat us last year in the playoffs. We just couldn't, we just couldn't get anything going. But, Mike, I got to tell you, after them losing some key pieces and adding Chase Claypool and Mitch Trubisky, you gotta like our chances maybe against Buffalo moving forward.
Yeah, like, Josh Allen, you lost Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, but don't worry. We got you Chase Claypool, and we drafted a receiver that has trouble gaining separation. He's going to be your outside receiver as well. So best of luck to you, Josh Allen. I like what they're doing up in the Buffalo for our chances. I don't like what they're doing for if I was a fan of Buffalo.
This Chase Claypool, he was here. And then he went to Chicago. Then he went to Miami. Now in Buffalo, You think maybe one of these times he's going to get it together, and that's what scares me. If he goes to a team like Buffalo and finally does get his shit together and say, and just gets it straight upstairs and is finally able to perform, that's the one thing that worries me, because then I could see him going and having a semi decent career. But the best case scenario is if he just continues to do what he's done to this point, and I don't see really much reason, Mike, to think that otherwise is going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. Last year would have been the opportunity. You're going down to Miami, where that offense is built for receivers. You got Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill down there, and then your attention is going to get drawn to those two. You think Chase Claypool would be like, hey, this is my chance. This is my chance to shine. Go in, be that third guy, maybe even that fourth guy, and make plays. And he just couldn't do it. And the same things happened in that he did down there that we saw in Pittsburgh and in Chicago, jump balls. Dude's like 6'4", 6'5", can't win a contested catch. He lacks focus, doesn't play hard all the time. It's night and day from what you saw on his college film in those first seven games in Pittsburgh. The dude was a beast. He was a physical player, worked hard, tried to do everything the right way, then all of a sudden just fell off. There's a disconnect up here with him, and that's just what's frustrating to see.
And it's also nice to see not only him going to Buffalo, who is somebody that, we're probably going to have to contend with if we want to do anything. Mm-hmm. Also, Mike, the addition of Devin Bush in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You got to like these teams that are our direct competition.
Yeah.
Picking up these complete scraps of players that, certainly didn't do anything here. And we sent down the road. So, mm-hmm. Hopefully that could play to our advantage, Mike.
Hopefully so, too. And this shows if you're like a first round pick, second round pick, who shows a glimmer of potential in the NFL, you get chance after chance after chance after chance in the league. Where you, if you're like a, sixth, seventh round pick, undrafted rookie free agent, you make one mistake, you're done. You're never getting another chance again. That's why it's very important to be a day one, day two pick, because you keep getting chances over and over again.
Mike, you did mention the day one, day two picks. I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple couple of things are in the Steelers. I'm going to talk about the just something I came across, a little evaluation of our draft day. Also, we're going to, of course, talk about the Najee Harris fifth-year option. Bear with me for a moment I can find good. This.
But yeah, I just love all these teams picking up our scraps, thinking they can turn them around. Where we saw Devin Bush fail in Seattle. Chase Claypool failed, at Miami and at the Bears. So I don't know what these teams are thinking, but that's typical in the NFL, man, or just typical of coaches in general in pro sports. Oh, just let me get my hands on them. I can get something out of them. You think after,
I can fix them.
Exactly. You think after the third, fourth attempt, these coaches and GMs would learn, no, there's no fixing this, no matter how good you are. It's just comical. It makes me laugh. But hey, as long as they're going to our contenders. But right. It's different when we do it. We can fix Justin Fields, baby. We could have fixed.
Yes, we can.
Mitch Trubisky. We will fix Caleb Williams once the Bears run him through the ringer. So it's different when we do it.
So here's what I got, Mike. This is your Steelers' first five picks.
Uh huh.
And this is their athleticism score.
Oh, the relative athletic score?
Yes.
So
this is their athleticism score. For Fatanu, our number one pick, the number 20 pick overall, he has scored an 87. An 87 of the top five guys. That's the first guy. Second guy is Zach Frazier, who would get in the second round, the 51st overall pick. Mike, he scored a 75 overall. His athleticism score. So Fatanu scores 87. Frazier scores 75. Roman Wilson scores an 83.
Nice.
Okay.
83. Peyton Wilson scores an 86. And get this, finally, Mike McCormick, fourth round pick, 172 overall. Mike, 93.
Wow. Like these... athletes, athletes, athletes. I like it.
93.
I like it. And You watch their film, not even just their highlights, their film, their athleticism shows right away. I like this that we're getting athletes, not just, stiff hip guys like we used to in the past. I like this, man. We're gaining with the times.
In the top five most athletic draft classes, get this, number five, the Jaguars with they have an 80, they score an 80. Number four is the Colts, they score an 82. Number three, the 49ers, they score an 82. The Commanders score an 83. And the top team that has the most athletic draft class guys, according to this, is the Pittsburgh Steelers with an 83, tying the Commanders, but topping the NFL. So according to this chart, they did pretty good athletically, and they got, good athletic guys, and I guess that's what you need, right?
And not just
I'll
athletes
take
too,
it.
man. Not just athletes, man. They're football players. You watch Fatano, like the packages that were shown. He was manhandling people. Same thing with Zach Frazier. And he was a double sport athlete as well. A college wrestler, high school wrestler as well, too. So he's an athlete there. You watch Roman Wilson run, you can see he's an athlete. You watch Peyton Wilson run, you can see with no ACL running a 4.4 40 that he is an athlete. As I like this man, and they
I
can
just want to
all
throw in
play.
Peyton Wilson's quote on his mentality. Peyton Wilson, that is his mentality is quoted saying, "I like to take people's heads off and I like to fly around." That's
I
what I
like
want.
it.
I want that guy on my defense. I want the guy that likes to take people's heads off.
I like that too. That's the Steeler mold. That's a middle linebacker right there. That is a Jack Lambert, Ray Lewis type quote. And I think my RAS score would be pretty high. I'm a
Your
big
bald score would
guy.
be pretty high.
Oh, my bald score is off the chart. It's bald and beautiful, Derpy. But my RAS score, I am a big fuck. But you get a couple drinks in me and we start running cone drills, look out. For about 10 minutes, I can be agile. After that, it's downhill. But for those 10 minutes, I think I can run that drill.
Good morning to Brian on the board. Brian says, "What's the average RAS score of the three of us? Derpy, Mike, right? Derpy, Ryan, and Mike." Mike, he kind of shined his up like his head a little bit. But I got to be honest with you, Mike got injured going reverse in his car one time. So
That was a sudden stop. I pulled
I
my
just
back.
want to throw that out there that he got injured going in reverse in his vehicle at
But
one point.
like I
But
prefaced, Ryan,
see, now Mike's gonna shine it up, but just
when I drink, I'm
do what you
athletic.
want with
I'm not
that.
gonna drink
Well, you're a
whilst I
drinker,
drive.
athletic.
I am athletic. No, dude, I was running.
Everybody's athletic when they drink.
Dude, I was flying around your truck because my kid was chasing it, running around. I was chasing him. I was cutting corners, man. I had slides on. I'd stayed up. My ankles were very flexible. I had good hip swivel, good bend at the knee. Good burst. I was looking like a top, I would say a third round draft pick offensive lineman when I was moving out there.
So we have the most athletic draft in the NFL. And Brian Baldinger says this, Mike, because of such an athletic draft that we have, Brian Baldinger says this team now has a chance to compete with Baltimore.
I
This
like it.
team now has chance.
Now,
Mike,
now, now.
Baltimore hasn't beat us since the Obama administration, for crying out loud. I just don't understand. Listen. If you don't have these three games, one against Indianapolis, one against New England, and one against Arizona, 10-7 turns into a turn at least a 12-5.
At
And that's not
least,
that's without having a quarterback.
Thought of having a quarterback with, playing like five different guys in the middle linebacker position where Landon Roberts was the only consistent player
And a picket fence is a good word
for that offense.
for that offensive line. I mean, Samalu and barely Broderick Jones and barely James Daniels. I mean, it was a picket fence. I mean, that was a very good name for that kind of offensive line. But Brian Baldinger says now we have a chance to compete with Baltimore, guys. So
We like you said, they're 1-7 in against us in the last eight games.
I love it.
I love it.
For yeah.
No, I just find that funny that people don't realize that we have whooped their asses for so long.
Right.
Here is the AFC power rankings. Last week, I gave you the overall NFL power rankings. Guys, this is the AFC power rankings as of right now. Number one, no surprise, it's Kansas City. Until somebody knocks these guys off, they are going to continue to be number one. Number two in the AFC as far as the AFC power rankings goes is the Houston Texans. Number three, the Baltimore Ravens. Number four, the Cleveland Browns, guys. Number five, the Miami Dolphins. Number six, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number seven, Cincinnati. And number eight, Jacksonville, guys. So in the top seven, you have four AFC North teams in the AFC. But we will see, guys. We'll see how this plays out. I mean, you know, things happen. We made significant offseason moves. We made a we had a decent draft. Baltimore, you know, they gained a little bit in that running game. So there's gonna be a lot of different things going on in the division. We will see how it plays out.
I just don't see it with like the Browns. They have a good roster. I like their running backs, their tight end, their line. The receiving core is not bad. Jerry Judy's nothing special, though. Their defense is good. But to me, it comes back to Deshaun Watson. Like, he hasn't shown anything outside of a handful of games that he can still be an effective quarterback in the NFL. You know, when you're picking Joe Flacco up off the couch and he's playing better than you, that's not good.
I love this Watson scenario. I think that this,
I think it's great, but it's just I don't know why
it's going to continue to blow up over and over and over in the face of Cleveland, and it's just great. You couldn't ask for you know, it's just another chapter to their terrible quarterback history. Just to add it to a book, Mike. There'll be another chapter coming next. Believe me,
it's just comical, and you know, you want to talk about wasting a defense's potential, and that's what they're doing right there. They got some great players on that defense, and they're just wasting them with that quarterback room. It's comical.
The Steelers invited Beanie Bishop, of course, the free agent we signed from West Virginia. Omar Khan likes him a lot.
Yeah.
He feels that he could add a lot to the nickel defense. Also, Mike, the Steelers invite Marquise Williams to camp. He is the guy that played opposite side MJ Devonshire. So we got a couple, you know, I mean, we're going to get a lot of looks at these young DBs in camp this year. But when it comes down to it, you know this as well as I do. You know, season goes along and you're in big games. You got to stop the pass. You know, is what we have enough? Should we have went out and got something else? Should we bring Cam Sutton in? Should we what's the answer to the secondary, Mike, in avoiding any kind of major meltdowns? Is because, again, this is a passing league. You got to be able to play the pass. You're not going to be able to stop it. You just got to be able to play it and be effective. What should the Steelers have done, and what can they still do to keep this secondary on the high end?
I would have liked to see a better cornerback than Dante Jackson. Yeah, he had high interceptions, but, like, his coverage, from what I'm reading from down in Carolina, was not the greatest. Like, it went, like, he kind of regressed last year. Yeah, he had more picks, but overall coverage wasn't that good. Stephon Gilmore's still out there. Yeah, he's getting older, but he can still play at a pretty high level. I would like
to
get him.
We thought that about Pat Pete too.
Yeah, Pat Pete was coming from a zone defense though, and we were man defense.
Flat Feet came here and he had the most interceptions amongst active NFL players. He is a numerous All-Pro Pro Bowl player. You know, so I mean, you think that's a smart move going after a guy at this age, like a Gilmore, opposed to going after somebody?
Gilmore, because Gilmore can still play man coverage, whereas Pat Pete is just a zone coverage guy anymore. So if he can still play man, that's going to help you a lot. And I think Stephon Gilmore showed last year he can still play man coverage.
Where did he play last year?
I can't remember where he played, to be honest with you. I know he played well, but I think it might be a salary thing. He still might want too much. And teams are leery of, is this going to be the year he finally falls off? So, but if we can get him cheap, relatively cheap, I think a Stephon Gilmore would be the great pick.
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas, that's right. Cam Sutton, if his head's right, and they can get him cheap, and if he's probably going to be suspended, but if it's a short suspension, that would be a good pickup.
Why does everybody keep saying that? Everyone says if he gets his head right now. I understand he just went through a situation.
Yeah.
But you know what? There was nothing prior to that.
Yeah.
It was bad. Yeah. There's been nothing since that's been bad. Everyone's just, you know, I mean, it could be an isolated incident.
Or could it be a sign of like a mental decline that we saw with that we see with players that have been in the league a while. That's all I'm worried
Interesting.
about. Is like you said, it could be an isolated incident, or could this be, you know, the trigger point, the flashpoint for future type actions.
Mike, the players, some notable free agents on our offensive side of the ball come the end of this coming season. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to make some decisions. Of course, right. Russell Wilson, everybody knows that. Justin Fields,
mm-hmm.
Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, who's a restricted free agent.
Yep.
Pat Freiermuth and James Daniels. Mike, after this season with these free agents, how many of these guys can you see coming back of these six that I just named?
Oh.
Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, Pat Freiermuth, and Daniels.
To be honest with you, it can go for me from anywhere of all these guys. I think Jalen Warren's coming back. I think he's definite the only one that for sure you can put 100% coming back. Everything else is going to be based off of performance. And I don't think Najee is going to come back, even if we offer him a good contract. I think he's going to be.
I would agree.
Once this year's done, he's out. He wants to go somewhere else. James Daniels, I don't think it's coming back. I think that's why we drafted McCormick. And Freiermuth, again, that's going to be a performance issue as well. So right now I just have it as Jalen Warren coming back for sure, 100%.
All right, interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, this is going to lead right into the declined fifth-year option of Najee Harris.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about that today, mm-hmm. guys. The fifth-year option for Najee Harris and Justin Fields will be declined.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something that's going to play a role. But let me give you a little bit of somewhat the future team of Najee Harris might be interested in knowing some of the things that we have talked about. And I just want to highlight today mm-hmm. on the show. Najee Harris is the only running back who's had 1,000 yards rushing in the past three seasons. One, two, three seasons, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. He's the only running back in the NFL that has this. Najee Harris had 81 broken tackles since 2021. The next best player is Derrick Henry with 68. Najee Harris had last year in 2023, 618 after contact yards, which led the NFL. And again, he's the only Pittsburgh Steeler ever drafted that ever ran for 1,000 yards in his first three seasons. On top of having a less than desirable offensive situation with the coordinator, on top of running behind the picket fence, not exactly a wall, he was able to accomplish these things while sharing that time in the backfield with another really good running back. So if he doesn't, and I don't think he'll come back either, I think he's going to go somewhere. And mm-hmm. Running backs don't make great money like they used to, but he's going to go somewhere and get paid more money because of our current situation. We're just not going to pay him a lot of money. We're not mm-hmm. going to give him the big contract. And people will say, well, you know what? The running backs are a dime a dozen. Of course, we should know that here in Pittsburgh because we've seen the likes of Snell, Samuels, Trewant, Archer, Edmonds, McFarlane, Ballage, Ridley, Todman, Watson, White, Harris, Brooks, James, Olison, and Smallwood, because you could just pick up a running back like that and they could be good for you. But I do want to say, whoever he goes to, they are going to get themselves a good running back. I think it's unfortunate that it couldn't be us because, again, when you do scoop up everything that he's done in the past 3 years, he could very well be arguably the best running back in the league. What do you think?
I'm okay with him going. That splitting time, how much of that was because of his poor running performance?
The point being, though, is what he was able to accomplish in the time that he did, in fact. So is that poor? I don't think so.
But when you're being sat down for huge sections of the game because you can't read where the hole is going to be, and your backup can.
I don't think that's the case. I just think he doesn't hit it as
he doesn't hit it as fast, and that's
patient.
Like,
and he has more numbers than the other guy.
Well, this year he finally decided to cut weight and get more explosive, where he just kept bulking up his first 2 years in the league. He's finally seems like he's starting to get it, but this is the first year he finally averaged over 4 yards a carry. There are huge stretches where Like, he wasn't for a first round pick. How many games can you truly remember where he took over a game? Where, like, he just dominated
Everything that I just
everything.
read says he's a better running back than anything we've ever had.
I'd rather have Franco Harrison's prime. I'd rather have Lev Bell in his prime. I'd rather have Jerome Bettis in his prime.
And we did, and we did.
Yeah, those guys were a whole hell of a lot better than Najee Harris. Najee's
not according
a good
to the
back.
Numbers, though. Not according to the numbers.
Yeah. You can.
I just read you a bunch of numbers that he in fact, is better than them guys.
We haven't won shit with him, so he can go.
We didn't win nothing with Le'Veon. Jerome Bettis sure didn't help us win that
Jerome
Super Bowl.
Jerome Bettis, we won a Super Bowl with. Franco,
the one that fumbled, almost fumbled the game away. Yeah, I mean, in Franco
Najee,
being a
speaking
part,
of fumbles, Najee Harris has become a fumble machine the past 2 years of his career.
And that's fine, but again, he still has better numbers than these other players that you mentioned. So that's all I'm saying.
So you'd rather have Najee Harris than Christian McCaffrey?
No, I didn't say that.
No.
So yeah. So I just
we're gonna get Christian McCaffrey?
No, but
why would you even say that? I don't get
I just like Najee Harris is a fine running back, but he's not an elite running back. You know, he's averaging 57 yards a game rushing the ball.
Like we don't
I
have
want
an elite,
more.
I would
I
rather have
more
an elite,
for my
I would
first
worry
round
about
running
having
back.
An elite quarterback than I would an elite running back, because an elite quarterback is gonna be what gets you the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I have no problem letting Najee Harris go. Because when you're getting 57 yards a game from him, I can get 57 yards rushing from Jalen Warren too.
Again, Mike, you're taking the worst performances, because obviously he has run more than anybody in the league the past 3 years. I mean, so I don't get what the
No, I'm just saying 1,000 yards is only 57, 58 yards a game anymore. You can get that from Jalen
and nobody
Warren.
Else has done it, basically, is what I'm saying. And he's
because
it's
a passing league now, and now teams don't have to rely on the run game anymore.
But you do need to have a good running game in order to have a good passing game.
Well, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs really didn't have a great running game.
You don't think that Pacquiao had a good running game? I mean, come on, the guy had an amazing running season. The guy's a beast. On the board, Brian says, Harris ran behind the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my lifetime. Also had the two worst quarterbacks in history. I agree. I don't know about the worst quarterbacks in Steeler history.
I would agree.
Some bad ones.
Le'Veon Bell had a pretty bad offensive line. He changed his running style to accommodate that and then made those
guys
look good.
But he also had Ben Roethlisberger. He also had Antonio Brown. He also, you know.
But he changed his running style. He became a patient runner. He was a big bruising back when he first
came in.
That's
good for him. And he's
realized
out of the league
and he's
unemployed. So, I mean, that's
style,
fine for him.
He became one of the best running backs of the generation.
Glad that worked out, because now he has no job.
He was one of the best running backs of his generation. No one's saying Najee Harris is one of the best running backs of this generation.
The numbers do. That's all I'm saying. The last 3 years, he's the only running back that they got 1,000 yards in three seasons. I'm
57 yards a game. That's what I want from
So every other
round.
Running back,
he's a first round draft
not
pick. I want
than
more than that. I'm
all
sorry,
produce lower than he.
I'm
did.
Sorry,
so
I expect more out of a first round running back. I expect a game changer
to have the
and
best rushing
that.
Numbers in past three seasons. I think
in a
can't
passing
get much
league,
more than that.
That's awesome. In a passing league, we have the guy
that is
who's
awesome.
Run 1,000 yards.
1,000 yards rushing in a passing league for three straight 50, seasons.
Someone who can average 50 yards a game running.
Nobody
awesome.
Else is. Nobody else is doing it.
Finally,
so.
He finally averaged over 4 yards a carry this year.
It doesn't matter. Like, he has more than anybody else. The fact of the matter is nobody
awesome.
That you could name is better.
And zero playoff wins. So that's awesome. We can do
come on.
We can do what we can do that with a different running back. We do that with Jalen Warren.
And we, of course, can always do that with, again, Snell, Samuels, Toussaint, yeah. Archer, Edmonds, McFarland, Bolaj, Ridley, Todman, Watson, White, Harris, Brooks, James, Olsen, and Smallwood, because you can do this with any running back.
A first-round draft pick outperforming fifth, sixth, seventh-round draft picks and undrafted rookie free agents. I want more from a first-round draft pick. I'm sorry.
I understand that you don't like him.
I like him. I want him to do well.
Better than everybody, and there's not even an argument.
He's a first-round draft pick. He should be doing more than 1,000 yards. He should be doing more than 1,000 yards.
He's leading the league in rushing since he's been in the league. You can't do more than that.
In a
passing league.
Yeah.
Mike,
and in passing
you're
league,
being,
yeah, people aren't gearing up to stop the run. He should be having more. He only has a limited amount of 100-yard games.
Mike, the most. In a passing league, he has the most rushing yards. You can't get better than that. You just can't. You can't.
In a passing league, he has the most rushing yards. That's not helping us a whole lot.
Mike, that means everybody. That means the whole league is the point of saying it's a passing league is nobody is running the ball more than anybody else. You know, for what it is.
We're running the ball more and losing and not being able to keep up
and
with
we
these
have the most
offenses.
Yards, and he has the most yards. So we do got to move on, though. Guys, let's see. The as far as Najee goes, he and I do. Okay, look at this one, guys. I can't find it. Okay, here it is. Other 2021, Mike, this is other 2021 declined fifth year options. Mm-hmm. Notable fifth year options from the 2021 draft, which Najee Harris and Justin Fields came out of. Mac Jones. Mac Jones, of course, he ain't getting no extension.
Ooh, hell
he
no.
Moved. Zach Wilson, same thing. Trey Lance, same thing. Kadarius Toney, same thing. Mike, is that 2021 class? Is it a bust?
It's not looking good. It's looking pretty bad. I want to pull up the draft class real quick, but it's not sounding like a good, especially that quarterback class is. It was one of the worst I've ever seen. There's some pretty good players in here. You had, you know, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Penny Sewell, Micah Parsons. There's some good players, but yeah, overall that first round pick, that first round class, not great. You know, it's not that deep up top, especially it's that quarterback class that's holding it.
Mike,
back.
Let me ask you, who's going to be in 2025 opening day, not this coming season, the season next season?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Because you're shipping everybody out of town. I'm looking at these people that are free agents, and you have them all going except for Warren.
Yeah.
I mean, where does that put us? Because, you know, let's just say that McCormick becomes that guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Freiermuth is going to go anywhere. The guy's a solid player, is a good blocker. And, you know, now that we're going to be throwing the ball, I think you're going to see more production out of him. Jalen Ward isn't going anywhere. Najee will be the odd man out. I do agree with that. And between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, we don't see either one of these guys around next year. And if we don't, was the pickup of Justin Fields, was it a successful move? Let's say he doesn't see the field all year, and then we cut him loose at the end of the season. And that brings even bigger questions. I mean, you know, if we don't, you know, if we play too well and we don't get a decent enough pick, we're not going to be able to go out and get that, you know, that young guy next year. I mean, again, there's a lot of football to be played between now and then. But if you look down the road a little bit, you kind of wonder who's going to be that starting guy on day one in 2025.
I don't see Fields. If Russell Wilson plays well, I don't see Fields seeing the field at all this year. So I don't see him coming.
Do you like
back.
That or no? Do you like the fact that Justin Fields ain't going to be seeing the foot? Do you like the fact that the guy that ran more yards than Lamar Jackson in the same amount of time is not going to see the field at all this year?
If Russell Wilson can put up like the number similar to what he did last year, if he gives us like 3,500 yards, but 26 touchdowns, 9 picks,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that because those numbers right there, those are good numbers. That should land us 12, 13 wins right there. So I wouldn't have a problem.
I want to see the guy on the field at some point. I mean,
at some point you want to see him. But if Russ plays like that, the way he did it, that second year in Denver, I don't see how Justin Fields can get on the field. Now, if Russ struggles, I can see Fields getting in there and playing. And if he plays well, I can see the Steelers maybe offering him a contract similar to what Jordan Love had, what, like 2 years, 13 mil each. He might be able to get him a little bit less. Or, you know, this is the year he sits, Russ plays this year, we give him that contract, like what we saw him running it in practice, and then he'd be the guy. I can see that. So, Dak 2025, God, no. He'll put up great numbers, won't get you done in the playoffs. So, he'd fit in perfectly in Pittsburgh.
Doesn't it feel like Dak's been around forever?
It does. It does. It's like he's been around since the Carter administration.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say Justin Fields.
All right. Justin Fields will be day one starter for the Steelers in 2025.
Yeah, you
know
why not?
I can't say I necessarily hate it because, you know, it's again, you have to – it's a struggle to get that guy.
It is. We know it better than most, man.
We went from Bradshaw to Roethlisberger. That's the best way to look at that situation.
Yeah, and how many quarterbacks in between? I remember the Jim Miller is going to be our starting quarterback, and that last
Jim Miller
half.
Is going to be the savior of the team that just barely lost to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Now we're going to go to a Jim Miller. Remember, it came down to Jim Miller, Mike Tomczak, and Cordell Stewart.
Yeah,
the big co the quarterback
Yeah,
controversy.
I remember that, and like the media dragging Cowher because he didn't stick with Jim Miller long enough. Like we all saw in that half of football,
You know what?
Jim
That's
Miller was not
almost
the
like
guy.
the quarterback room from last year with Trubisky and Kenny and the other one,
And Mason was like
Mason,
the Cordell Stewart of that one, the one who was actually
number
showed the
10.
best play. Yeah.
And coincidentally, guys, Roman Wilson will be wearing number 10 this year. So if anybody's curious on our new guys, Mr. Roman
Oh.
Wilson will be wearing number 10,
Oh.
which was
Collar.
Santonio Holmes and
Yep.
Cordell and,
Yep.
you know.
It's about all I remember.
The one more notable Steeler piece of information for the TJ Watt lovers. I know Brian on the board is a big TJ Watt
He's
hater.
the president of the TJ Watt fan club.
Yes, he is. TJ Watt is the only NFL player with 45 plus sacks and 10 forced fumbles in 2021 since 2021. And I have a feeling that's going to be just enough for him to be passed up by Myles Garrett come voting time this year. Again, nobody in the league has 45 plus sacks and 10 forced fumbles
Yeah.
since
And like
2021.
no one has what as many sacks as him since he came into the league.
Right.
Yeah.
Around the league, guys, in the NFL, OBJ to the Dolphins on a 1 year, $8.25 million deal. Mike, does OBJ make a difference in this Miami offense? Of course, we know, and you know,
No.
you told me the pun that the only thing that's going to be able to stop this Dolphins team is 70 degrees. I
Yeah.
agree with you, Mike. Is there
Yeah.
anything that OBJ adds to this team? No, of course, you know, he didn't do amazing things in Baltimore, but at the end of the day, put
He
him in the right
was,
position, I think he could do some nice things.
yeah.
Is he good enough, or is he going to be enough, Mike, to get the Dolphins over that hump?
No, because I don't think Tua and I don't think that coach have what it takes to get you over that hump.
Because he's 9 years old. Have you ever seen that
Yeah,
guy?
yeah, yeah. And he's people want to say Tomlin's like too soft on players. This guy seems way too soft on the players, and it showed in that playoff game. But I think Odell's a nice addition to that. The receiving core, he doesn't have to be the guy or the second guy. He fits in as your number three receiver. He was dependable in Baltimore last year. And, you know,
Yeah.
it was a good pickup for them. He doesn't have to be accounted on as one of the guys. You got Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. You add him in there. I forget who else they have in their receiving core,
I'd see
but that's
Jalen
a good
Waddle have
pick.
a big year. It seems like I haven't heard his name much over the past year.
Yeah, it seems like he gets drowned out a lot for by you know, Jamar Chase and a bunch of other receivers, but I think he's still a pretty good, damn good receiver.
A player that the Denver Broncos is bringing in the camp. Did anybody see this? BJ West, he's 5'8", 142
Yeah.
pounds. He's tied for the lightest player in NFL history. Now, he played 6 years at Alabama State
The stat
for
line is great.
a total of negative five receiving yards.
I love it.
Why even waste your time with this guy?
I it has to be a favor to someone. That's the only thing I can think of. It has to be a favor to someone.
Mean,
Like,
Derpy, you're bigger than this guy. I mean, 142 pounds? Derpy would be giving this guy noogies,
yeah, this guy's tiny.
swirlies,
I don't understand it.
wedgies.
Kid's gonna get killed out there.
Jeez, oh man, I wasn't that since I probably seventh grade.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't know why they did it. Maybe just for the circus factor,
Yeah, that's what
get some
Denver needs is more of a
eyes.
circus factor.
Exactly. Yeah, I
They need
don't.
to tighten the ship up down
Or
there.
maybe to distract them from drafting Bo Nix in the first round. We're gonna get this
Maybe.
little midget, and
Maybe.
we're gonna people will forget we drafted Bo Nix in the first round.
Hey, a midget makes every situation better. I don't care what you
Hell
say.
yeah, they do. They're awesome. They're badass
Shane Lemieux. Shane Lemieux for the offensive
motherfuckers.
lineman for the New Orleans Saints, guys, is going to be wearing number 66. That's right. If you turn on your TV and see a black and gold 66 jersey with the name Lemieux across the top of your eye, your eyes aren't messing with you. Shane Lemieux, offensive lineman for the New Orleans Saints, Mike, number 66. How cool is this?
I like it. I like it. It's you know, they did that on purpose.
Oh, you have to.
I
Absolutely.
scrolled on Twitter and I saw a gold, black and gold 66 Lemieux jersey. I'm like, oh, there's like a special edition Lemieux jersey. And then I saw who tweeted it out. I'm like, you cheeky bastards. But you know, nice tip of the cap to the greatest hockey player of all time.
I like it. Yeah, that was really cool. And you know,
Yeah.
as we said, it's going to be something that we could look at
Yeah.
and respect. But you know what? A lot of people are going to around the league are going to look at it and be like, "Oh yeah, who
Yeah.
cares?"
Yeah.
It's cool for
But us
us.
Yinzers, man,
You're a
it
Yinzer,
popped
you're going to
us.
like that.
Hell yeah.
Mike, also the Bengals. Just a funny statistic I
Oh
came
God.
across. This has nothing to do with anything, but the Bengals all time are 394, 471, and 5, which is bottom in the NFL and worst all time in the AFC. North, our division, Central, North, everything that it was through time. The Bungles are always going to be the Bungles. The Bungles have always been the Bungles.
Yep.
And I don't think that Glass Joe Burrow is going to change that. You know what?
No.
He's going to be he's going to have his success. They're going to do some things, but I'm going to be honest with you. Just like the Browns, at the end of the day, this team, they're going to be the Bungles, and we just move forward with
Yep.
the Steelers and the Ravens as always.
Yeah, I remember when TJ Houshmandzadeh proclaimed the Steelers are black and white and they were color TVs.
Yeah, that's
And that was
right.
like what two Super Bowls later for the
Yep.
Steelers and nothing for and one appearance for the Bengals, so.
And he's still shining his shoes over to this guy's Houshmandzadeh. I
Houshmandzadeh.
seen him
He's
with the
what
draft.
I hated him, but if he was a Steeler, I would have loved him. He was a damn good player.
All right, guys. I guess we got to do this. I pushed this off as long as I could.
Why? Why?
Right. So the Pirates, they win, guys. By winning yesterday 1-0 or I'm sorry, 5-3 over the Rockies, it was their second win to break their 5-game losing streak. They won on Saturday 1-0. They won 1-0 Saturday on an amazing game pitched by Jared Jones. We'll get back to that in just a
Oh
second.
yeah.
The Pirates right now are 16-19. The Rockies dropped to 8-26 overall. We needed that. We needed that Rocky series bad. That was our first series win, Mike, in over a month. The
Yep.
last time we won a series was early April. Here we are, early May, finally winning a series. That before they lost that first game, or before they won that first game, when they broke their streak, Mike, at that point they lost 14 of their last 17 games.
Oh, the Buccos.
Next for the Pirates tonight, the LA Angels are in town for game one of three. That game is at 6:40. And then they got the Cubs coming to town for three before we head back on the road. So we still have some home games here. We have a chance to play a little catch up. The division looks like this. The NL Central, Milwaukee and Chicago are tied in first place. Cincinnati's 4.5 games out. The Pirates back in fourth place over the Cardinals. They sit 5 games out, and the Cardinals are 5.5 games out. Probable starters for tonight are Mitch Keller with coming in with a 2-3 record in a 5.18 ERA, coming up against Southpaw Tyler Anderson, who's 2-3 with a 2.23 ERA. Mike, anything to get excited about? What's the deal with these Pirates? Why in the world can't they beat anybody? What do you think about this team?
The only thing to be excited about is every fifth day because the what's Jared Jones pitch. That's literally the selling point on this team. And when Connor Joe is your leader for batting average and on base percentage, you know your offense is the drizzling shits.
I
And
gotta tell
there's
you, not taking anything, and I agree. Don't get me wrong. I'm not
yeah.
taking anything away from Connor Joe. The guy has played out of his mind. The guy is the only
Yes.
player that's playing good baseball, and he has since day one till now. I do want to give it to him because just
Yeah.
because these other guys are playing bad, I
Yeah.
don't want to say he's the only, you know, look at this guy. He is really playing good baseball. And
Yeah.
if I had to pick somebody at this point to say who's the best on the team this year so far, it is Connor Joe. Mike, of
Yeah.
course, they sent Henry Davis back down to the minors
Yeah.
a few days ago. You know, there's a lot of issues with this squad.
Oh, there's a ton. Like, we thought pitching would be the struggle of this team, and no, it's the hitting and it is guys that we are paying a lot of money to. Brian Hayes, yeah, he's not a you know a big offensive weapon, but come on, you're batting 254. Get out of here. 11 ribbies, come on. You gotta do better than that.
Henry Davis was 162
Yeah.
before he went down. 162, no home
162.
runs,
Yeah.
four RBIs in 23 games. He struck out 29 times in 83 plate appearances.
Yeah, it's not good. Brian Reynolds betting two, what? 243, Ohnyil Cruz 242. Come on, get your heads out your asses here. It's bad. It is a bad team. Kutch is batting 182. Yeah, we shouldn't count a lot on him, but unfortunately, the way the roster's constructed, we're expecting more out of him than 182. I just, there's nowhere, there's no offense on this team. I don't even know what we have in the minors for offensive output.
Not a whole lot. I mean, you got a couple pieces down there, but not enough to save this ship from sinking. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Brian says on the board, I agree with Mike Jones and Joe. Last time I Googled the Pirates' next game, they had Connor Joe featured in the matchup. That's where this team is at. That's yeah. crazy, man.
Yeah. When this guy should be your, you know,
nice utility player. For
utility
the team.
Player coming off the bench here and there, spot starts here and there. He should not be an everyday player, and they're lucky he's producing the way he is. And
Let me tell you a quote that Derek Shelton said. Derek Shelton said these words. Our goal is to be playing playoff games. Our goal. Do you see anything that proves that this is even, I mean, anything besides shit talk?
Yeah, that's just, like you said, those were words that he spoke.
I mean, you have to say that stuff as a coach. I mean, yeah. They literally can't believe they're anywhere near being a good baseball team, yeah. which is a shame because I don't think they're that bad of a – listen, this offensive production is terrible top to bottom. You yeah. can't tell me all these guys – I'm not going to sit here and believe that all these guys stink. They don't.
No.
What do you do? How do you? What do you do to fix this problem?
I know.
These guys they, back in gear to you yeah, know.
Like everyone's favorite solution online, at least, is to fire the hitting coach.
Right.
Yeah, fire him. You know, make a. It's gonna just be like a hollow statement because Derek Shelton used to be a hitting coach as well. We get a new hitting coach, but like I said before,
funny, we have a hitting coach and we have a coach that was a hitting coach, but yeah,
we can't
hit
shit. And but if there's an organizational philosophy, a way they approach at bats, it's not gonna change no matter who the hitting coach is. I don't know. Maybe the hitting coach can fine tune their mechanics. That can go a long way too. But if they have an organizational approach of like you're this in this situation, you're going to take the ball no matter what, whether it's coming down the heart of the plate or not. That has to change as well. New hitting coach. Because like you said, these guys have had success in the big league, especially Brian Reynolds. He was talked about, you know, being a borderline MVP candidate, you know, a borderline perennial all-star. And he's not even close to that.
Mike, there was a team that resembles the Cleveland Indians from the movie Major League to the point that it's almost scary. The Oakland A's.
Yeah.
Now, this team, Mike, they outscored us 23-8.
Yeah.
23-8. The Oakland yeah. A's.
And they're still
going
strong.
If they're the Cleveland Indians, who the hell are we?
Bad news Bears. But at least they were entertaining.
There was nobody that the Indians beat on that, you know.
Yeah.
Let's do talk about a couple things here. The Grandel, he did get his first hit coming back mm-hmm. to play for Henry Davis, who, of course, was sent to the minors, as we said. A couple encouraging things from our hurlers. Jared Jones the other day in the 1-0 win gets yanked after 7 innings. I don't know why, but anyway, listen to the stat line. 7 innings pitched, 0 runs, 1 hit,
huh.
0 walks, Ooh. 0 earned runs, 10 strikeouts. I let this guy throw the rest of the game, but you know yep. what? They get the 1-0 win. He gets a little help. And you know, at the end of the day, there you go, guys. 7 innings pitched, no runs, 1 hit. 1 hit, no walks, no earned runs, 10 Ks. He, yep. come on, this guy's a candidate to throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, and my God, he's – if we had an offense around him, he might not have a loss this year.
That's the only thing that's bad is his win yeah. loss, and it's not because of him.
No, like this kid should be talked about as, you know, a rookie of the year. He should be talked about going to the All-Star game, and I don't know if we're gonna talk about it, but someone down in the minors should be up here with him providing a 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation.
And after this, 4 days
this kid is
off
just a beast.
After 4 days off, he finally gets another stab at it. You know, they're checking the boxes on schemes.
Gotta check the boxes.
You can't tell that he's already throwing better than anybody else in the history of the freaking game.
He gave up a walk and a home run. He has to be down at least another month. We can't, that is
unacceptable. Here are his numbers, Mike. At the moment, we can't use this guy. Can we? 27.1 innings pitched. He's given up 4 runs. So this is 3 games, basically. 27.1. So let's just say he throws 3 complete games plus an out.
Yeah.
He gave it up in 3 games, 4 runs, 3 earned runs, 8 walks, 45 strikeouts, and it's a 0.99 ERA. He's
not bad. Not bad.
Well, we can't use him.
No, We can't have a top of the rotation of Jared Jones, Paul Skenes. No, we don't need two bulldogs out there
Drop Mitch
willing
Keller
the
to
team to
three.
victory. Yeah, Keller three, that fits that Labradoodle's, personality right there. Good little lap dog. And then you filter it out with,
With
whoever.
your Perez's and your
And
even
your
Falter
Falters.
is pitching good,
Yeah. And you
which is a
just,
big surprise to me, but eh.
you nice little, when you can't score runs, might as well get people up here who won't give up runs.
Right.
It's like, this isn't rocket appliance, guys. It's this simple. This is how sports have always been. If you can't score, you stop. If you can't stop, you score more. You put yourself in the best situation to do that. And our front office and coaching staff refuse to do that.
Mike, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds now, all the way up to Saturday night. Now, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, they did win. And as the time went, as they won, when it was the game was over with the Riverhounds, they were outscoring the Bucks 6-3 in their last three games. So if you would have taken at that moment, that night when they won, and took those three games prior and took the Bucks three games prior, the Riverhounds, yes, a soccer team, was outscoring the Pirates. Three, six to three. But Mike,
That is not good for your Buccos.
no. But here we go. So the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Mike, they beat Miami 1-0. They now have a 3-game winning streak. They play the FC Tulsa team. They play Tuesday night, 7 p.m. So maybe get down there, check out, support your Pittsburgh Riverhounds. They are on a little streak, finally getting back in it, Mike. After a rough start, they are on a 3-game winning streak. So good for
Picking up
them.
kind of where they left off last year because they had a nice run last year. It's nice seeing getting off snide.
They did.
Getting
Pittsburgh
back out
Passion
there.
back in action yesterday, week two, with a big, convincing 54-29 game win over the DC Divas. I was here at the studio watching the game. Mike checked in at one point and seen that it was a blowout. They look good. This team is, they're dominating. And they were talking about the schedule, and of course, there's a lot of football to be played. But they said there's a pretty good chance by looking at the teams that them and Boston both have before they play each other, and it looks like this could come down and be an undefeated versus undefeated game between these two teams if it does happen. But yet again, Mike, 54-29, the Passion beat the DC Divas at Pine Ridgeland High School to start their season 2-0, and they were dominant, man. There was nothing that they did that wasn't dominant. The only thing that kept DC in this game is they had a pretty good team, and it's a big rivalry against Pittsburgh, but all they could manage to do was put up 29 points.
Yeah, and did it the Passion, they started to pull starters at one point too. And like what worries me is that Boston game, because last year what we lost to them twice, and that's kind of when the wheels went off the season. Like they lost, if I'm trying to remember correctly, I don't have the last
Yeah,
year's
they beat
schedule
us
in front
pretty
of me.
good.
They beat us pretty good, and we had a couple losses after them that kind of like set the season back. So hopefully this year they can get over the hump because Boston's been that team, man, that we've had trouble with the past couple of years.
The Passion has a bye this week, and then the following Saturday, the New York Wolves come to town. This is a brand new team in the WFA, but that will be the Pittsburgh Passion's next opponent in 2 weeks.
Beat up on the expansion team, man. Like the old NFL, like when the Jags and the Panthers first came into the league and they just got destroyed.
Don't know if anybody's seen these new Cole, COAL, black alternative jerseys that the or uniforms that the West Virginia Mountaineers are going to be wearing in football. I don't care too much. There's nothing about West Virginia that really draws me in, but they have these new Cole black alternate uniforms, Cole, COAL, and they are sharp. See
Oh,
that?
wow.
Yeah, they're Cole black.
They are. That's like the I'm getting the black lung just by looking at them.
I'm coughing just looking at this thing.
Give me
So
one second
that
here. I'll see if I can pull it up on the show here so
they're
people can
sharp,
see.
man. And one other thing we do got to go over as soon as Mike pulls this up, if he can.
If I can, it's gonna take might take a second here.
Let me jump into my last story and then we'll get ready for trivia, guys, as Mike does this. Up there it is. Look at these
There it is.
Cole Rush
I kind of like
uniforms.
that. I like that get up.
It's like I have to wash my hands, you know?
Yeah. It's like I got the, like I said, man, I got the black lung just by looking at that.
I like it. You like
I
that,
like it.
Derpy? You like,
Yes.
yeah, that's nice, man. Finally, the first preseason game played by Caitlin Clark this past weekend was against the Dallas Wings. They did take an L, but she did score 21 points, had five assists, three rebounds, and had 5 3-pointers in that game. The teams in the WNBA only play 2 preseason games, and they are on the regular season. But you could watch her in the Indiana Fever.
She looked good. I'll tell you what. The Chicago Sky, their first 2 picks look good. Angel Reese, and I forget the other lady's name, but they look good. But they dropped the ball, the WNBA, but the only game you were able to watch was the Indiana Fever game. Like, if you want to grow WNBA, you had people wanting to check out Angel Reese. You pull them in with Caitlin, but you also like have available on your streaming service, you know, the Chicago Sky, Chicago. Right. Yeah. I almost said Fire. That's the MLS team.
You gotta have your money maker out there. Two ways about it. And but I say, you know, it's still early.
Yeah.
It's preseason game one. Yeah. Let's see how they handle this.
They need to work some things out. Yeah, I don't know if they maximize exposure, yet, man.
But you do know where the money's coming in at, you do have to capitalize on that. But hey, it's time for the. Oh, I do want to say one other thing before I forget. The NFL schedule, guys, is going to be released on the 9th. So on the 9th, here in a couple of days, the dates, everything like that, will be released on the NFL schedule. So people are getting curious to look at that. You generally have an idea who every team we play is. Now just put them into place and see when and where. Yeah. Some speculation is we're going to be getting the Ravens on a Sunday night game to kick off the season, but that is just a rumor. I do not know that to be fact. So
I don't want that the first game. I want the offense to have 4 games before we play.
Just like the San Francisco game. I didn't like that being the first game either.
No,
I'm not afraid of San Fran. I just didn't
want to
play
I'm not afraid
first.
Of these teams. I just want us to work out the kinks.
Right.
In live
I'm
action.
Sure they do too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, guys, trivia question of the day. This happens to be a Pittsburgh Steeler trivia question. You ready, Derpy?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Put your thinking cap on, Mike. Anybody on the board who wants to participate as well, here we go. What was the most recognizable contribution to the Steelers made by M.S. Koppelman? Guys, M.S. Koppelman, what was the biggest, most recognizable contribution to the Steelers made by M.S. Koppelman? Take a minute to think that over, guys. We are live. We're live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. The show is live every day, and then we also take that show and we upload it over on Spotify at 8 o'clock in the evening, and you can listen to it in podcast form. You're in the work, you're at the gym, maybe anywhere. You can put your earbuds in the car, taking a run, whatever you do. You could always listen to the Two Dumb Yinzers over on Spotify every day. Check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day is this. What was the most recognizable contribution to the Steelers that M.S. Koppelman made? Mike, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to go with the logo.
The logo. And is that your final answer?
Final answer.
All right, Mike is locking in on the logo. Derpy, what was the most recognizable contribution that people recognize that he made to the Steelers? Of course, M.S. Koppelman is who we're looking for. What did that person, what's the most recognizable contribution in what they gave to the Steelers? What do you think it would be? Derpy, Mike says the Steeler logo.
I'm going to be real. I have no idea, but I'm going to copy Mike and say the logo.
All right. Both guys say the logo, the most recognizable contribution, the thing that you would notice today by M.S. Koppelman. Both of the guys said the logo. The answer, of course, guys, you got to know who M.S. Koppelman is. Myron Sidney Cope, his real name. Was M.S. Koppelman, K-O-P-E-L-M-A-N. He changed his name for on air. I think it, I got to tell you, I think it's because I you know what? Just hold up on that. I'll tell you why tomorrow. It has something to do with being a Jewish name.
Yeah.
And I want to find out for sure, but it's either they wanted him to change out of a Jewish name or into more of a Jewish name. And I just
they're both pretty Jewish names.
Right. So that's the story. I just want to get it straight before we talk more about it. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But guys, the answer, guys, M.S. Koppelman, of course, is Myron Or in Sydney. It was a trick question, but let me throw in one more tidbit for you. Something, a sneaky Pittsburgh name, guys, that you will recognize, I think, because of part of it, but I don't know many people know this. Did you know this is bonus information? You're only going to get this here today. Did you know that Stan Savers' name was Stanley George Savarsky?
No.
Savarsky is
Wow.
Stan Savern's real name.
I did not know that. The Godfather hiding out on us.
Most people don't. That's why I like these ones today. Again, MS Copeland, Kaopelman, and Stanley George Savansky, or Myron Cope and Stan Savern. So you
That
learn
is,
something
that's
new.
not, that's learn something new every day.
Every day, Derpy. Derpy's brain's what happens whenever you learn, like your brain gets little folds and creases
Yeah,
and wrinkles.
you get little wrinkles in your brain. The synapses higher, fire, you
Derpy,
know?
yeah, Derpy is his
Yeah.
little brain is all wrinkled today. I do want to say thank you to everybody for checking out the show, coming and hanging out. We appreciate each and every one of you. We wouldn't do it without you. Everyone on the board, we thank you as always. Appreciate you guys. You guys always keep it interesting. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off?
I had something that I lost it. It was something about like the Browns record and Steelers records and achievements from 2020 since 2022. And Browns fans like to talk a lot of crap. Here we go. Since 20 or 2002, Steelers have 9 division titles, 14 playoff wins, 2 Super Bowl wins. The Browns have a playoff win.
I like how the Browns always go, well, and all these teams, well, when was the last time you won a championship? All your things are old. It doesn't matter. The fact that you won them gives you the right to brag.
Yeah.
They say, well, you won 4 Super Bowls in a second. Well, guess what? You didn't. And we get to
Yeah.
brag because we did.
Yeah.
So F yourself. And we have 7 and nobody else, we have 6. Nobody else does except for New
Yeah.
England.
So bump off down the road, Cleveland fans.
Derpy, anything before we take off, man?
Actually, I do.
All right.
This isn't sports related. This is movie and superhero related.
Okay.
We have our first look at the new Superman.
All right. Who's playing Superman?
David Cornsweet, he's 6'5", and he went to what's it called? Juilliard.
Okay.
He's
So
a he's
you're
an yeah.
actual trained
He's
actor.
yeah.
All right. So there you go, guys. Superman. I do want to say this, that some of the shittiest people on the planet are the bicyclists. They're out on the streets. Boy, do they have to abide by the rules? Don't they have to abide by the rules? I see them going through red lights when other people are stopped. If you're in traffic, you shouldn't be able to continue to go through red lights whenever all the other cars are stopped. Sometimes they're on the road, sometimes they're on the sidewalk. I don't know what to make of these bicyclists. I think they're the biggest pricks on the face of the planet, but that's just me. Also, guys, check out our website. Mike does a great job over there. It's www.d2dummyengines.com. www.d2dummyengines.com. Mike, anything else before we go, man?
A new blog post up at the2dummyinsers.com.
All right, Derpy, anything else?
No.
All right. Again, thank you everybody for coming and hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again for Derpy, Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, myself, the two dummy engines. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, no.